Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick, and with me today I have Richard Sherry, Portfolio Manager of the KAR Global Dividend Yield Strategy. Rich, welcome back. Rich, market returns were under pressure in the U.S. amidst growth fears and a protectionist agenda by the Trump administration implementing tariffs, while international markets performed well in the first quarter with a weaker dollar and optimism for increased fiscal spending, particularly in Europe. Can you speak about how this particular strategy performed in the first quarter, both on an absolute and relative basis?
Yes. The strategy outperformed the MSCI World High Dividend Yield Index during the first quarter, which is often the case during times of market and economic uncertainty. Broader market indices were impacted by the geographic issues you noted. In the U.S., the S&P 500 declined in the mid-single-digit range, whereas the MSCI World Index was higher by mid-single digits. This strong absolute and relative performance had several characteristics. Given market and economic uncertainty, investors gravitated towards higher dividend-yielding stocks, which is typical in the environment we saw during the first quarter. These businesses tend to be more stable, which investors appreciate when times get tough, and they also appreciate that they get a fair amount of their anticipated total return upfront in terms of the strong cash dividend. A higher weighting to non-U.S. stocks in the portfolio did benefit returns during the quarter, as non-U.S. stocks outperformed U.S. stocks. Non-U.S. businesses tend to return more of their excess capital to shareholders via dividends, and we've been able to find some good investment opportunities there over the years. However, U.S. high dividend yielding stocks also did well and did outperform the broad U.S. market, though they did underperform their non-U.S. brethren.
Rich, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the first quarter?
The biggest contributor to performance during the quarter was BAE Systems. It's become increasingly clear that European countries need to increase their defense budgets amid ongoing Russia-Ukraine conflict and a perceived retreat of U.S. involvement. In our view, BAE Systems is one of the main beneficiaries of this higher spend, given its differentiated aerospace portfolio and a robust operational capacity. IBM saw strong software growth offset consulting weakness. However, the software growth is more emblematic of the successful shift that management has implemented at the company over the past several years. Zurich Insurance continues to generate strong levels of capital, which insurance investors like to see. Meanwhile, concerns related to the company's Farmers Insurance business have abated. AbbVie raised long-term targets for Skyrizi and Rinvoq, which are expected to have robust growth through 2032. This is an important part of the company's ability to offset the patent expiration of Humira. And Verizon saw pricing and cost discipline contribute to improving net adds and good results. 5G-related capital spend has peaked and is contributing to strong free cash flow growth. The biggest detractor to performance was Broadcom. Company was caught in a broad weakness among AI-related stocks due to the DeepSeek surprise in January and fear of subsequent GPU overcapacity from hyperscaler providers. Recovery in non-AI semi, such as wireless and industrials, remains slow for Broadcom. However, we believe it is still well-positioned for AI ASIC, as well as growth in Ethernet AI adoption. Lamar Advertising was purchased about halfway through the quarter and didn't participate in the stronger market performance in the first half of the quarter. Flowers Foods is seeing weakness in its business that has both cyclical and structural elements to it. Consumers remain under financial pressure, but they're also trading away from bread to more perimeter of the store items and into alternatives such as tortillas and flatbread. Weakness in the bread category is also being impacted by GLP-1 drugs and healthier eating trends. Dave's Killer Bread remains a strong brand, but the company's cakes and snack businesses are not making up for weaknesses elsewhere in the traditional bread category. We sold our shares during the quarter. PNC Financial Services produced solid results, but economic concerns weighed on PNC and many bank stocks. Royal Bank of Canada also produced solid results and reiterated solid medium-term targets, but economic concerns and potential tariff-related issues between the U.S. and Canada weighed on the stock during the quarter.
Rich, can you discuss the impact of tariff policies on the strategy, including any companies that are particularly impacted, and your expectations for how quality businesses will manage this going forward?
Overall, quality businesses should manage well in this environment. They've been living with tariffs in one form or another since 2018. They also lived through COVID and the disruption that had on global supply chains. There will be some disruption, but we believe higher quality businesses with some combination of pricing power, low cost position, and strong balance sheets should manage well. There's also the possibility to gain share, as lower quality companies will have a more difficult time. In terms of company impact, we're paying attention to the Canadian companies we own in the portfolio, given the rhetoric between the Trump administration and the country, as well as the country's exposure to the auto industry in North America. DHL Group is exposed to global trade, but as we see it, should also benefit from increased industrial activity in its home country of Germany. Texas Instruments is benefiting from the onshoring of chip production in the U.S., but is exposed to the Chinese auto industry. And Broadcom, Cisco Systems, and IBM are exposed to chip and tariff-related disruptions that we're also paying attention to.
Rich, in your last part, in our last podcast, you talked about the risk of stagflation coming into this year. Do you think that has increased with tariffs and lower fiscal spending from the U.S., or do you still feel comfortable this is a manageable risk?
I think the risk has increased somewhat, but it's still manageable. Unfortunately, inventory levels for most businesses are good, and most debt balance sheets are pretty solid. You know, as I heard one CEO say, consumers and businesses are cash rich and confidence poor. Businesses want to invest. They have the desire and the ability to invest. They just need a little more certainty. Once we can get that certainty, I do believe that investment and growth will happen. Fortunately, the low levels of inventory and strong balance sheets that I noted earlier provide cushion if this takes longer than expected. You know, the risk is an elevated decline in employment levels, which would more than likely happen at smaller companies than larger companies. However, one thing that companies learned during COVID was to be careful about laying off too many people because it may be difficult to bring back the high-quality workers that your business will need when the economy rebounds.
Rich, lastly, can you talk about the merits of this strategy, particularly while there are seemingly so many unknowns from interest rate paths to growth, as well as global geopolitical outcomes?
In our view, this portfolio has several attractive attributes, especially in times of economic and market uncertainty. Most of the businesses in the portfolio may be somewhat slower growing, but they're also generally stable businesses. In our experience, these kinds of businesses tend to be sought by investors in times like these. This attribute, as well as the upfront investment return that the company's dividend generates, contributes to the portfolio's generally lower beta relative to the broad market. Also, as noted earlier, we see higher quality businesses in a better position to manage and potentially benefit from what's going on in the world today. In addition, the portfolio seeks to generate a steady and growing income stream. The growth in the income stream provides some protection from inflation and interest rate volatility. An income stream that grows can help offset higher inflation compared to a static income stream from a bond that does not grow. Over time, this should create an income stream that creates an ever higher yield on the initial investment. And relative to interest rate volatility, it protects against the reinvestment risk related to lower interest rates, which could lead to a lower income stream. On the flip side, higher interest rates should lead to lower fixed income prices, which tend to move inversely with stock prices. And finally, over the long term, in addition to the income stream that the portfolio generates, we believe the portfolio has the potential to generate an attractive equity return as well.
Rich, as always, thank you for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.